Ya es la hora. You know, power hour.
Is it 91 or 99? I should be on. 99. This weekend I'm gonna switch pastors on everything.
Es para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No te pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura de la vida, morenos y hispanos y israelitas. Oye, ¿cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida? Nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power.
Rafael, learn your family history, don't be a coward. Refresh that page.
Tune in, it's the power
hour. I said, learn your family, don't be a coward. Go to the internet, yep. No, click the arrow right there. 91. Oh, there it is. Refresh.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
And Soldier Eric.
All praises to the Most High. We're missing Toby.
Yeah, man. Toby not feeling too good.
I know Toby don't like to miss stuff like this.
No, sir.
I know he had a lot of feedback to give, too, in regards to
the interview.
Yeah, because he looked real excited during the interview. Like, I saw you guys just kind of eyeballing each other. You know, they were like.
The sister was speaking scripture, but she didn't know it.
Right. Well, that's usually the case a lot of times. So I was like, damn, all right. And it ain't like that. We back. We had a replay last week, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Lord's will. Well, for some of you on Phoenix, it wasn't too long since. Actually, it was several months back we did that one. It's been a while since we did the White Animus one.
Yeah.
But we weren't broadcasting on the classrooms page for that one yet.
Right.
So you might have missed that one. So Lord's will, y'all enjoyed the replay of last week's show. We back this week. Man, it's been hectic, bro. I feel like it's been so hectic.
Time has been flying like crazy, man.
Well, I know you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll you always kind of do. Well, that's good. No, it's good stuff, too, right?
Yeah. But it's just like time flies, and it's like either you got time for something or the other.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I know some people get real frustrated with that. I tell them, Bishop did a overview class spiritually about the time management in 24 hours. Great class. I can't recommend it enough. You know, if you're trying to get real granular, he's not in there giving you tips and things like that.
Right.
It's more like from a spiritual perspective, hey, this is what you got, and this is how you got to make it work. And it was a great class.
Right.
It was a great class how he brought that out. Look that one up, time management in 24 hours. He basically goes into, look, if you sleep the 8 that they recommend, that's 8.
Right.
He goes, you got 8 for work. He was like, and basically you got this other small window to get everything else done, you know? So, and you got to make it happen within that time period. But,
hey, Cap.
Yeah.
You brought out a heavy point, too, at men's conference when you mentioned that you don't really time management. You said, I believe it was, you manage your time. The time doesn't manage you.
Right.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Those are some good notes to reflect on here.
I'll be forgetting what I say sometimes, but I believe you. And I was using my Pomodoro yesterday. So you were at the men's conference.
That's right.
Yeah. But I've strayed away from that because I've just been so – I really feel like the past, like, I want to say since December – my day's been running me. I've not been running my day.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not good for me. Like, that's not good for me. Like, I get real jacked up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, it just throws it. You know, here and there, things happen. Right. But I'm talking about I've had months where that's pretty much been the thing.
It's just happening, huh?
And I can't keep doing it, bro. Like, I've been through that before, and my body has shut me down. Like, I wound up in the hospital and everything.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Damn.
I think it was soon after... maybe a couple years after I moved out here. I was just running
I
was just running real hard, man. And you know, and the thing with me is like I don't feel frenetic.
Right.
Like you know, some people like their stress is very outwardly evident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way.
Right.
But my body tells me.
Right.
My body tells me. So I gotta really gain control of it. Like I gotta get back on it. But I started using my Pomodoro. I got a lot done with that Pomodoro, Mo.
What's a Pomodoro?
Well, it's like a. I'm not gonna digress too much. It's a method that's used. It's like a time management method.
Okay.
Right. And you know, I get a little timer. Mm-hmm. And what you do is, you know, you still make your list and you make your project times or whatever.
Right.
And you allot your time for it. And then what you do is you put this little timer, and it should be a silent timer. Like you don't want to tick 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 in the back. Like. That subtly gives you anxiety
right.
when you're hearing the tick,
like,
tick, tick. Right, so it's a silent timer. The only time it goes off is when you're done. Mm-hmm. And basically, you break up your work into 25-minute blocks.
Okay.
All right? And there's something about that reset that, like, kind of refocuses your mind. So, you know, after that 25-minute block, you know, I'll take a few minutes, kind of rest my eyes from the computer.
Right.
Just a few. It's not a full-blown break, mm-hmm. right? Those are scheduled in later. So I can't remember exactly because I haven't been doing it for months, but you do like a certain amount of Pomodoros and then you take a break
right.
or you move on to the next task. And it really is subtle, but it like focuses you to try to get stuff done. And it really helped me get through some grinding stuff. Like I tend to use it more consistently for the things that I hate doing.
Right.
Because those are the ones that are the most tedious and that my mind tends to wander with, especially if you're doing stuff on the computer, right? Because, like, it's just all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, I forgot I need to buy this. You know what I'm saying? You're doing something, little ad pop up, you know, like in the email or something. Well, Yahoo used to do that, even a little ad in the side. Right. You'd be like, oh, wait a second. You know, a little email pop up.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a sale on the t-shirts I like. You know, next thing you know, you're freaking off in La La Land. Lord forbid you start watching TikToks or anything else,
right.
bro. You know, them algorithms are heavy, bro. I keep saying I'm going to do a social media class on the either a class or a radio show, but
last week it was like one day where I just did one TikTok and I was there for hours, bro.
Bro, that thing's a trap, bro.
I don't have it,
but like they show the TikToks on Facebook.
I watch those.
So, you know, now as you're scrolling through the feed,
yep.
you know,
got
and I,
one video.
And, right. So then they'll have the little line of videos.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And,
yo,
then they show you the little preview. So you're like, oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah. And then you go scroll one, then scroll another, and another. Then 2 hours go by, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Clickbait is what it is.
Hey, that reminds me of when Chappelle did that skit about the internet. And he was like, it's like this big mall, and you're just like, yeah, oh, you know. And they're offering all types of stuff. He's like, sure, I'll go this way.
Right.
Sure, I'll go that.
Right.
It'd be like that, man.
Yeah,
it'd be like that, man. I tell you, them algorithms are strong, bro.
Yeah.
Strong.
I bought some shoes for the new garment.
Uh-huh.
Man, now every time I get on Facebook, shoes.
Bro,
shoes,
let me tell you, I think I've said this before.
Yeah.
It's scary. How it reads your mind?
Oh, I mean, it reads your mind.
But sometimes I love that it reads my mind. Like I'm like, I do need that.
Right.
How did he know?
I do need to buy that.
Like, you know me better than my wife.
Bro, and it's wild, bro. Sometimes they say like it's because you searched or you typed about something, but sometimes I think they listening in.
Oh
bro.
Yeah, type
because,
in one word,
bro,
and it'll.
Bro,
exactly
no, I'm saying I've been in a room talking about like let's just say like I don't know Chevy trucks.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, bro, I'm checking my feed and Chevy trucks is showing up. And I'm like, what the hell? My wife got Alexa. So she likes it for the music.
Right.
And the light was flashing the other day, real weird, right? So whenever we get an Amazon package, it beeps.
Okay.
So it lets you know that the package is at the door,
wow,
it's delivered.
Okay.
But then it was doing like some weird flashes. So I was like, Alexa, are you listening to me? And she was like, our privacy terms, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you're full of crap, man.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
You're full of crap, man.
Especially you.
They own you. Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I know you. Not everybody know what you're talking about, but I know what you're talking about. I feel like that sometimes. I get like a weird echo in my earpiece.
Right.
Why? Like,
they own you, bro.
Yeah, be like, yeah, they listening. Yeah. Well, you know, they build the dossiers. Bro, even if they're not looking to pursue anything, bro, they, you know, that I laugh sometimes. I say, I know I'm in a room somewhere on a wall with the lines.
Right.
You know, with the pictures
and
the lines.
Up here
and
you wanted to move off that tree.
Uh-huh. I know it. Yep, you got to be mindful of all that stuff. Yeah, man, that thing be wild.
Hey, the brother said, one of the brothers said, Cap, give me the name of the beard cream. I see yours is rocking.
Oh, bro, Manly Badge of Dignity. Go to originalroyalty.com. Go to men's grooming and under beard care, all right, you'll be able to go ahead and purchase one of our beard kits, all right? Working on a new scent that will not come in a kit. We're going to start selling the individual bottles for when you re-up, all right? You can certainly buy another kit if you want. We still have them in stock.
Right.
We have the scruff balm kits,
mm-hmm.
which is if you have the shorter, patchy type of beard, all right? Difference in that one is it's a little more... viscous, so it sticks a little to okay. where you don't have hairs.
Right.
And then we have the beard balm kit where if you got the length, you know, just throw that thing in there, man. So yeah, I'm trying to work on some filling up here. It's a little, you know, I gotta put a little concentrated effort into it. But yeah, go to originalroyalty.com, my brother. Go to originalroyalty.com. Manly Badge of Dignity beard line. All right, fully developed by Israelites for Israelites.
Right.
Boo boo. Yeah, boo boo for us, by us.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, man, it's been tough, man. It's been tough.
I know Passover's coming. So
well, you know, and then I'm like heavily involved in a lot of that stuff. So
it's crazy.
I'm exhausted. So between that and the original royalty side with the garments and everything, and I'm not gonna open up no storm here because then everybody start asking me about garments.
That's right.
Don't ask me about no garments, all right? Everybody gonna start asking me about garments.
You're probably tired of hearing the word garments.
Oh my goodness. I cannot wait till we
hey,
done.
Hey, Cap, with that being said, you know, I bought that one garment. I need to return.
You, man,
yeah,
I'm about to sling my Apocrypha at you, bro. There's a reason it got all this tape on it.
Oh, praise.
I'm about to sling that Apocrypha at you. But all praises, we here. I forgot my little earpieces, so I'm doing my over-the-ear headset. Mm-hmm. My head's already getting hot.
Yeah, I heard my ears
after a while. Bro, yeah, I can't with this one because it's just hot. Like it burns my whole ears up on the sides. I can't be dealing with it. Anyway, so we want to talk. Oh, I got a couple things. We'll see how much the recap portion goes. We'll jump into that.
Right.
But we want to talk about the interview that we had 2 weeks ago. Right.
Right.
So this was supposed to be the topic last week. But like I said, we had to run a replay. Right. Wasn't able to do the show. We had to run a replay. So we want to have an open dialogue about thoughts, feedback on the Young Lords interview. We got a lot of good feedback from that. The weekend after, I think I was – actually, that weekend, I was in the Tijuana Blitz.
Right.
And the captains was telling me there's a lot of good feedback. A lot of people enjoyed that interview. A lot of information that people were not aware of.
Right.
It was.
That came out of that interview. What were you going
to
say?
Shout out to Captain Sakar, Captain what's his name? From Miami. The other captain.
Severus.
Mm-hmm. And the Four Corners News, they shouted us out for the interview we did on Four Corners News.
Oh, oh right. Okay. All right.
So shout
okay.
out to them.
All praise to the Most High, Captain Sakar, looking out on that interview.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, that's always been kind of one of the aims on this show. To many of you who more recently started listening because we popped up on the IUIC in the classrooms too, we've been doing the show for many years on Facebook and then for a little over a year on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube exclusively. So we have a lot of topics that you can run back and take mm-hmm. a look at.
We're also on Spotify.
Yeah, we're also on Spotify now. We're supposed to be on iHeartRadio. They told me we up on it.
Yeah, we are up on
okay.
it. That's right.
We're on iHeartRadio. We're also on Spotify. All right. You can look for the Power Hour radio show on Spotify. And then you can listen to us podcast style after the fact. We're not on there live, but the shows load up on Spotify after the fact. And, you know, if you want to – so that means that did we put up the interview or does it automatically do it? Did we put up the interview yet? You put it up already?
All praises.
So the interview's up.
Yeah, so if you want to just listen to it, you're driving, we'll have it. We have the show as a podcast on Spotify after the fact. Hey, and we could use the support on that, all right? Go there, add us, follow the show on Spotify. You could leave a review.
And also, brothers and sisters, there's ads on there. Just ignore them. Just listen to them because guess what? That helps us. So I know just like you guys watch your ads on YouTube and just wait to click skip. Just wait for them to be finished, because that helps us out.
Right. So what he's saying, we get some ad revenue on Spotify and all those things, and that directly benefits the show, right? So, like, mm-hmm. if I got to buy books, if there's things and equipment that we got to buy for the show, that helps us out as well. So, you know, check us out on Spotify. And like I said, I believe we're on iHeartRadio and some other lesser-known,
right.
Like, streamers and stuff like that.
Right.
But
we'll put up a picture shortly. Or next
yeah, week. Yeah. We should start, like, putting that as a reminder yep. always. You know how we have at IUIC Phoenix at the Laws? We should also put, you know, at Spotify, at mm-hmm. iHeart, and all
makes
of that
sense.
So people could check it out.
And I also, for you brothers and sisters, I know that on Saturdays there's a lot of classes going on with different captains and deacons and bishops. But I also put on Spotify the Saturday shows where Officer Issachar and myself do the Spanish one, and Officer Sarah does his power hour,
yeah.
1 hour.
So
they're on there.
On alternating on Saturdays, we have La Hora de Poder, all mm-hmm. right, which is the power hour in Espanol. And then we also have the officers doing an hour show as well. So that's on Spotify also.
As well.
All praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High.
Yeah, also, so I'll be bringing some of this stuff.
Good, you good. All praise. Yeah, I've peeped him a few times. Mm-hmm. So I give him some coaching. He be asking me. I think it was one time I didn't watch it. He's like, how'd I do? I said, I didn't watch this time. I guess that's good, right? I mean, I figure he did all right. What's the calling number? Oh, 516-531-9797. God, I like that. Now we have it streaming across the bottom. 516-531-9797. You see that in your streamer there. You can call in live if you did watch the interview with Dr. Fernandez and you have questions or even commentary, things that you want to just kind of bring to light that you enjoyed about the interview and whatnot. And we're going to speak about that. So
call in, Israel.
Yeah, so call in. We'll do this as a little interactive piece. And then I do have that little article
yep.
To speak about a little bit, should that come up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes with the review. Bro, so I know you've been anxious, bro, so what's up?
You want me to start?
Yeah, I want you to start.
All right.
What is your feedback on the interview, man?
I mean,
I have my notes here, but, you know.
It was good, bro, because it's like a lot of you know how – we don't have history. You have like Chicano Month. You have Black History Month. That ain't nothing compared to what we really have done. Even as a people destroyed in our lower state, give me Genesis 32:28. Even in our destroyed state, bro, we're a great people.
That's right.
We do mighty stuff even when we don't have. I'm not saying I justify the wickedness of our people,
right.
Because I don't. But even within like, when we were without the knowledge of God, we still do mighty stuff when we come together as a body, as a unit.
Mm-hmm. You look at the things we created in slavery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give me that. And then let's start with Raphael. Let's start with the first one, the first clip.
You ready, sir?
My man is prepared, bro. He got clips and everything. Okay, let's bring it out.
This is the book of Genesis, chapter 32 and verse 28.
Bring it out!
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
Mm-hmm.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
And that's the part I want. We prevail when we come together and we do good stuff. We have power with God, right? So going back to the young lords, they came together because they said something ain't right. They saw that kids were getting poisoned. Lead poisoning
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
what she was bringing
mm-hmm.
out.
Sir, eating the paint chips.
And what they do, they started doing medical treatments door to door for the brothers and sisters in New York, in Chicago, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things. So a lot of this history that we're not taught, it's for a reason.
Yes, sir.
It's for a reason. But let's play this clip of what she was saying, something very heavy that I like about what she was saying about the Black Panthers.
Hey, did we send her like a thank you email after
yes,
the fact?
I did.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get her
professional. And let's try to get some contact to, like, you know, maybe we could speak to
yep.
you know, Pablo Guzman or
yeah. No, we definitely Sister LaCharles been on that.
I always forget the brother's first name, but Feliciano.
Yep.
You know, we could
sitting like Chess?
No.
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 no, I did, and I was trying to get her article that she said she had wrote.
Right, I'd like
I couldn't
to see
find
that
it
too. Yeah,
I couldn't find it, and I sent her an email. Let's play this.
And in Chicago, the Young Lords was composed of Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. So there was a tremendous amount of solidarity. When I interviewed
Wait,
the
you don't
want to
stop
this
one second. Stop. I don't want to mess up your flow. That's I just fine. Realized there might be some people who didn't watch the interview.
All right. Didn't think about that.
So maybe we should read a little synopsis on the Young Lords.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I just realized that. Maybe we need to do a little synopsis on the Young Lords, all right? Okay. So the Young Lords, let's look them up on Wiki so people can read along. Let's look them up on Wikipedia. Just type in Young Lords, and it'll probably be one of the first things that pops up. At least it did for mine. There you go. Perfect. Okay. Young Lords. So we had Dr. Joanna Fernandez. She spent almost 3 decades compiling research with citations and everything. And it was basically a labor of love in this book that she brought out, The Young Lords, all right? And she wrote this book. It's been getting a lot of academic awards.
Yep.
Okay. As she said from the outset, that's why I knew. I said, oh, it's going to be a great interview. I like this sister.
Right.
I knew she was on the right path just writing about the Young Lords. Right. So she was like, yeah, you know, I basically got like this white man's award, you know, right. Like it's the whitest of white awards in academia.
You was like, I'm glad you said that.
And I'm like, I'm glad she said, you know, well, you know, some people, you know, they might be like, right. you know, I'm sure she's that. What's the term they use? Did they say secular when you're like, so she might not be because she works in an environment where.
Yes.
So she might not be into the whole segregational True. Thing and secularism that we basically emphasize right. because of the scriptures. Talk about come out from among them, be separate.
Yes, sir.
But she called it, you know, she called it what it was, mm-hmm. you know. So she'd had a labor of love in putting this book together. And many of our people do not know about this, all right? And why is this stuff important? Well, there's several reasons why it's important to bring this type of history up. Same thing when we did the Brown Berets.
Yep.
First of all, it's important so that you understand that Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, right, so-called Latinos, Native Indigenous, and what you would call so-called Black, Jamaican, Haitian, suffered similar, almost identical issues with very few exceptions. And why is that important? So that you can understand that when the curses is speaking about Israel and who would be upon, and that those curses would be a sign and a wonder for our people, all right? Let's cue that up, too, because we do need to bring that out. I think I want to start at, is it verse 45 that I want to start at? Deuteronomy 28:45.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to understand that, because there's a lot of pushback in general of who the Israelites are today. Right, by the world at large. Mm-hmm. And then as you get and you bring it closer to home, most so-called Black people, right, Southern Kingdom, will jive with it right away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then when you start pointing out biblically, mm-hmm. right, because that's really at the end of the day what matters, right. You can say whatever you want about genetics, you can say whatever you want, because once you start entering that road, and let me tell you, most of the time, those things do favor us, okay? But when you start going into those areas, you start leaving the scriptures, right, where it says, you know, let your conscience bear you witness, right?
Right. Spirit bear witness.
Let the Spirit bear witness that we are the sons of God.
Yes,
you start straying away from that when you try to get too scientific about it. And this is what happens a lot with these other groups. Well, you're not the right shade. And I'll say shade, not even color.
Right.
Because you can be Judah. And, you know, be light as me, and we got Judah brothers that are like that.
Cap.
And just on appearance alone, they'll say that brother's not Judah.
My granddaughter has blonde hair and blue eyes.
Right, we've spoken about this before. We've spoken about this before.
Nothing to do with color.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, sir. So it's important that we bring this out, because when you're identifying the Israelites today, because of the way we were scattered all in the corners of the earth, all right, the emphasis must be on, it must be on the curses. And why? Because this is what the scripture says. Read this in Deuteronomy 28.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed.
Right. And when it says overtake thee, it means that it would happen to all Israel as a people. All right. It's important that you understand this piece of it. Okay. It says, moreover, all these curses will come upon thee and overtake thee until what?
Until thou be destroyed.
Meaning we would become a lost people. All right. We would lose our heritage. A people who does not have an identity, does not have a culture to cling to, all right, that is a destroyed people. Mm-hmm. Understanding the history of the Israelites, because, you know, it annoys me that some people say, oh, see, it says destroyed. Right. So it means the Israelites are not supposed to be here. But you'll accept the so-called Israelis,
right,
the so-called Jewish people, mm-hmm, as the Jews.
Right.
If you're supposed to be destroyed, meaning non-existent, so it goes to show you that's not what it's speaking about.
Right.
Exactly. Which then strengthens the evidence. Mm-hmm. Because it shows you that in these last days, we would not know who we are by and large.
Mm-hmm.
They've always maintained their identity.
Right.
So as much as they may try to say, oh, the Holocaust, and not all, everything that you read in Deuteronomy 28 was not covered in the Holocaust. Mm. All right.
What is?
Right. Well, we got to be careful when we talk about that topic, or else we get, or else, okay, else they right, take us off the air.
Right.
Right. But you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I get it.
All right. But then they've always held their identity. Mm. They've always known who they were.
Right.
They've never had a period of time, well, who they claim to be. They've never had a period of time,
right,
right, where they've ever lost their identity. So that's one of the biggest ones that automatically then blows back onto us as a people.
Right.
So read this verse from the top again.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed.
Right. And it said that they would follow us. Right. Meaning that this would be, you know, you have the black rain cloud. What's that? What's that freaking isn't there like a peanut character that's like that?
Somebody like, I don't know.
No, oh no, that's Pigpen. That's the one that dirt is all around him all the time, right? But you know, it's like there's always a cartoon with a black cloud over him, right? It's always raining. It's always all doom and gloom, right? And it says it'll pursue thee. So it's talking about that these curses would be on us for generations. It'll use that word generations later, right? Come on.
Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Right, because we did not listen to the Most High. We did not want to keep his commandments, which he made only for us.
That's right.
So another differentiation between the so-called Jewish and us. They say they've always held it. They've never left it. They've never left their customs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, just refuting that in and of itself.
Right.
Okay. So it says we are the ones that were rebellious and refused. Come on.
To keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee.
Right, because we did not want to keep those. Hey, and let me tell you something else. That's so indicative of our, we don't like to follow rules.
No, we don't.
Hard-headed, stiff
neck. We stiff-neck, like it says in Ezekiel, right?
It got to be us.
We rebellious. It got to be us, man.
Yeah.
Well, you tell a black or Hispanic go left, man, they'll go straight or right just because.
Just.
We go in the outway.
Right.
We,
just. I'm telling you, man, just because.
Oh, you said left? Okay, I'm going to go right.
Yeah, man. Right. We don't roll that way.
No.
So, that, bro, it's indicative of who they're talking about. Read on.
Verse 46. And they,
these curses that we've been speaking about, come on,
shall be upon thee for a sign.
Why? Why would you need the curses as a sign?
Right.
Because God said, this stuff is going to be so atrocious. Mm-hmm. This stuff is going to be so specific. Because they'll try to make the argument, well, these people went through that. These people went through
right,
that.
Everybody's right, been slaves.
Everybody's been through maybe one portion of right, these curses.
Right.
But nobody's still under those. Remember, it says pursue thee. Nobody's mm-hmm, still under them today.
Right. Overtake thee.
Overtake mm-hmm, thee.
And destroy
right,
thee.
That mean, right. Meaning lost your identity, right, overtake thee so that you become something else.
Mm-hmm.
You desire to be something and someone else.
Right.
So when you bring this out, it says, and they shall be upon thee for a sign, is because we are the only group of people ever in the history of this planet that needed something like this to identify who we were.
Bring it up. Yes, sir.
So those curses would be a sign. And what else?
And for a wonder.
And a wonder. Because such a wonder that any people could go through so much
mm-hmm, still be here.
And still be here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't die, we multiply.
That's right.
Baby kids. We don't die, we multiply. All right, yeah, that was the graphic I was talking about. Right. That would always happen to him because Charlie Brown was always depressed. That's what it was.
Right.
He was always depressed. So he'd be, whenever he was depressed, he had the freaking black cloud over him. Mm-hmm. That's us with the curses, right? Wherever we went. That's why it identified us, right? And it says, these curses will be upon us for a sign and for a wonder. Come on.
And upon thy seed forever.
And not just, right, because people say, oh, well, that was then. Right. Some of those curses were fulfilled at a certain time then. It said, listen, this would be upon our seed forever. Forever.
Forever.
Por vida. Por siglos. Right?
That's right?
Forever, forever, forever. Mm-hmm. Meaning that this would be the one way that we identify ourselves.
Yes,
that's right.
Right. So this is why I say, hey, look, this is one of the reasons it's so important that we bring this type of information out, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can see, based on the curses, that those people who will refute that people who look like me or Shia, so-called Latinos,
mm-hmm.
right, are not Israelites, though we would meet the curses in this way,
yeah.
All right? It also shows a unity and a unification that they had that understanding during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
Because, and this will lead into like what you were speaking about, the Panthers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she emphasized this as well during the interview. And what it shows is that that spirit in the scripture, right, will still be here in these last days, right? From what she said about Judah when in the representation of the Black Panthers. From there was one piece that she said, I guess we had the clip circulating, if we can play it later, where she talks about how he came out of prison and took a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then she says something about the Rainbow Coalition and how it was Chacha Jimenez that helped inspire them.
Edomites. So,
right. And we know that they were there and, you know, that has its agenda. Mm-hmm. It made it into the movie because of, you know, what it was. But we know who the Black Panthers were really working for in their communities.
Yes, sir.
It did it benefit them to have some of that?
Yeah.
So he leveraged. So he leveraged that.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of have that representation,
right?
That's how I view it.
Yeah,
with my understanding in the scriptures,
right?
You know, he made a little pact with them so that, but you don't really read much about how they came to Chicago and did stuff with them, the Edomites.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it really wasn't about him trying to unite all races,
mm-hmm.
right? It was about him stepping up and doing for his people what nobody else would,
right?
So you know, we fulfilled that role, and it shows that Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom realized that at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through the same stuff.
Yeah, same struggle.
We're in the same struggle
yep.
with very slight variations. Like when we were watching The Harvest of Empire and Jesse Jackson was saying how, you know, it turns out, you know, while blacks were here picking cotton mm-hmm. and this and that, you know, they were there dealing with the, you know, picking tomatoes and pineapples and whatever else. And, you know, he said, while they were doing sit-ins, while we were doing sit-ins mm-hmm. and they were, he says, so in all points and in all things, we were fighting the same struggle.
Yes, sir.
Just unbeknownst to each other. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it a step further. What Jesse didn't know when he said that in that documentary, Northern Kingdom did pick in the cotton fields as well,
right?
Just not as much or as frequently,
right?
Because natives didn't make very good slaves, which is why they killed so many of them, because they knew the terrain, they understood, so it was easy for them to kind of rebel,
right?
This is why, especially and very particular with Gad, and if we get to talk about it today, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll talk about it next show. Gad always had this rebellious nature, and to the point where, you know, Esau said, damn, we can't go straight up against them all this while.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that I was going to bring out today. If we get to it, we probably won't.
Some treaty, the treaty. One of the treaties.
Dealing with the treaties and what happened with the hotel in that article.
Right.
But in general, dealing with Gad, where their policy was, the reason they wrote these treaties, which they knew they would not keep or would put things in there that would be to their advantage, unbeknownst to us, is it would take too much sacrifice and manpower on their part to overthrow the natives.
Right.
So what they did is they lulled the indigenous to sleep, particularly with Gad and Reuben. That's
right.
What they did. Right. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the original American Holocaust, they just came slaying the conquistadors all over the place.
Right.
Right. And, you know, working us to the point where, you know, they figured there were so many of us. It wasn't basically the slavery kind of evolved. By the time it became the so-called African
right.
slave trade, where mm-hmm. while they were particularly brutal and cruel, their goal wasn't genocide
right.
because it was a commodity. It was property, mm-hmm. right? That whole thing of property really wasn't in their minds as heavy when
right.
Columbus and Ponce de Leon and all of them came over here,
right. yeah.
Pizarro and all of them. It was just, oh, there's so many of them. If they're dying in the mines, I don't care, just send more.
Right.
Right? If they're dying or diving for pearls, I don't care, just send more. You know, to the point where so many died, and then, you know, so many also rebelled and escaped to the mountains, and they said, okay, now let's bring Southern
Judah.
Kingdom over here. Let's bring Judah and try to get more slaves. And anyway, I don't want to digress too much.
Right.
My point is, you have a lot of detractors out there that try to state and refute what the scripture says.
Right.
And the identity has to be based on that, what the scripture says and what we just read about it being a sign and a wonder. And then there's just so much history then that supports it. I'm not even going to say backs it up because the Bible stands alone, right?
That's
none
right,
shall
right.
want her mate, the
That's
scripture
right.
tells you, right? None will fail. But it gives it some more prominence
mm-hmm.
to some of our people who might not yet understand what real spirituality means until you embrace that identity.
Right.
Right? Because spirituality has been taught to us by our oppressors.
Right.
So they make it like this hooky, hokey.
Falling on the ground.
Yeah, you know, so from modern iterations of speaking
right.
in tongues and
right.
falling on the ground to even things of spirituality and dealing with spirits and
right.
familiar spirits and what do they call them, clairvoyance and
right.
psychics and things like that,
and
right?
That's why people don't believe the Bible.
Because
yes.
it's hocus pocus to
right.
them. It's
yeah.
a fairy tale. And until you start walking in this and keeping these commandments, you don't understand what real spirituality
right.
is.
Bring it out. Yes, sir.
And you have an idea of it that's been taught to you by your oppressor,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't feel right because it's not right.
Right.
Mm.
The law is spiritual.
That's right.
And you cannot become spiritual until you begin keeping the law.
That's right.
You won't understand it either.
You won't understand
right.
it.
As much as you try
happens.
To understand it, you're not going to be able to understand
right.
it
Absolutely.
Until you keep the commandments.
I didn't believe
Absolutely.
That at first. That if I started keeping the commandments, that the Most High would open up my understanding, but I was very wrong.
Yep. Yep. Bro, I'm telling you. Hey, and again, I want to get back on this, but it's just sometimes I have these, I don't know what you want to call them, musings or meditations when I'm driving. And, you know, somebody will say something or I'll hear a scripture. Or, you know, I might, hear, you know, one of the, you know, we're doing the ads on YouTube with like the little clips and I'll hear something. One of the things that's been standing out lately, every now and then, you know, we'll post pictures up like on the captain's group. Sometimes I see it on Facebook and people show like when they first came in and how they look
right.
now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a soldier. I don't know. Is he a soldier or Eli? Is he a soldier or officer again?
I think he's an officer.
He's an officer?
Yeah.
Officer Eli. I still have him a soldier on my phone. That goes to show how often he actually messages me.
Look, he hasn't been here in years, bro.
I know.
What the hell is this, bro?
I told his behind to move here. Anyway, so he texted me today, and he sent me some old pictures of the first time I went to L.A.
Oh, God.
And the men's conference we had in New York when we first got Paulding and him. He was at my house. Got Officer Issachar there.
I remember. I seen the picture.
Yeah, that we were in my house. Captain Yadon's in that picture, Captain Avio. And I was looking at myself, and I said, damn. And that made me think of all the brothers that look so different now that have been in this truth for a while. And it made me start thinking about the power in the knowledge that's in these scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that we know that we're in carnal, fleshly bodies.
Right.
They're nowhere near. I don't care how fit you are, how healthy you are. They're nowhere near what we're really supposed to be
exactly.
like, right?
Mm.
How we're really supposed to be. And it amazed me in the contrast with me because in a short window, I looked like a little kid
mm-hmm.
with no facial hair. And I was in my 30s at that time I went to L.A., right? And then I look now, and I'm like, damn, like, I don't look anything like that anymore.
Right.
I'm like, so what really changed? Did age really hit me hard? I don't think so. I still don't think I look that old.
Right.
No.
This is my take on it, and I can back it up with scripture. Get me that one where it talks about when Moses came down, his face was glowing, so he had to put a veil. They told him put a veil, and I'm gonna make a point, and then we're gonna go back to the young Lords.
Corinthians 3. Or
no, I want the history. I want the actual history. If you don't know, we could look it up. That's not one I would think someone would have the precept off the
right off the rip,
off the tone, off the thing.
Too much.
Let me see if we can look it up.
Somewhere, I'm sure.
I'll let you. Exodus 34:29.
Yep. Exodus 34:29. You say something?
Okay.
Can't hear you.
Exodus 34:29.
Yeah, okay, so hold on a second. Let's get that, and then let me finish my point.
Okay.
So what I was saying is, because we're talking about the spirituality, and this is why it made me think about it as I'm bringing it up, all right, as we're speaking about it. What I was saying is, this is the power in real spirituality. To know what we know, I'm talking about each of us who have a decent grasp on the basics. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, yeah, I know I'm Israel. There are a lot of people that know they're Israel. There's a lot of celebrities and mm-hmm. athletes that know they're Israel, but they ain't keeping no laws.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
So they're not going to have that spiritual change. But those of us who have spent any decent measure of time living our lives the way we should have mm-hmm. in this present carnal form, you change.
Yeah.
Your appearance changes.
It almost ages
your demeanor changes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you said ages because I'm going to make an example, but it's not like a bad age.
Right, no. I still look young. I'm just a little more gray, though.
I'm still fighting the gray.
Right.
I got them coming out here and there and the beard and stuff.
Gray on you,
nah, they there. They there. I'll be tucking them in behind the other hairs and stuff like that. Yeah, I got them. I keep the hair short, so they starting to pop out. I'm just going to let it go gray
when
it happens.
That's that wisdom, man. That's wisdom.
But my point is that there's so much power in the knowledge that's shown unto us. You read it in Sirach 3, right, where it talks about more things are shown unto you than men understand.
Mm-hmm.
That this word is so spiritual and this understanding is so spiritual that it actually changes your physical appearance.
Yes, it does.
I was looking at the picture of Tobias from the Blitz.
Uh-huh.
And then I was remembering Tobias when he first came in and I was teaching him Krav Maga, looking like freaking, what's the dude from The Simpsons, the clown one?
Sideshow Bob.
Oh, that's it. Sideshow Bob. With his hair looking like Sideshow Bob for Soldier Tobias. And then I saw his picture at the Blitz and I said, my man looking hard, bro. I said, this brother come a long way. I said, this brother, come on. I remember the whiny stuff I used to hear about him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I said, this brother really manning up. I remember how fresh-faced Officer Shy looked.
Yeah, you can definitely
I said, this brother really
that.
Manning up, you know? And it's that the spiritualness in these scriptures physically changes you when you start to embrace that spirituality. That's why people lay, you know, the truth does change you.
Also, when people haven't seen you in a while,
yeah.
and they see you,
yeah.
and they see the way that you speak, and
different.
The way that they're like, what
bro,
the hell
you see the way
you?
People kind of look at you when it's just a few of us walking into a room or in a group,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just because they see a bunch of Black and Hispanics
right.
together
with fringes,
right. they sense the power,
they see something,
they sense. Yeah, what would they call it? They would call it vibrations,
right.
The
aura,
your
frequencies. That's what they call it.
Yeah,
that's what they call it.
They call it energy.
Energy,
right.
Frequency.
Right.
They feel the frequency of the power that's there. And I'm going to show you why that's true. Let's read this in Exodus.
This is the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 29.
And I'm not saying any of us is on the level of Moses.
Never. No.
Because then we'd all be walking around with our face shining.
That's right.
But Moses, in all the knowledge that he had, it changed his countenance
mm-hmm.
that his face shone bright with all he received directly from the Lord. So what I'm not saying is some hocus pocus.
Right.
I'm talking about real spirituality and how it physically manifests in us as we repent. All right. Go ahead. Read that.
This is the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him.
Come on.
And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold,
the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him.
So what the emphasis that I'm bringing here, because none of us, his face is shining and on the level of Moses.
No.
Moses, right, dealt very intimately with the Most High. It's like they sat down at a coffee table and had like coffee together. Right.
Most High said he was his friend.
Right. As much as possible. Right. Obviously he couldn't see him.
Right.
He said, listen, you can't see my glory. Right. But how he appeared to him and how he dealt with him. Right. He called him his friend. Right.
Right.
So that intimate level of understanding that he got there made his face shine. So you don't think that us getting it from the scriptures isn't going to have some physical changes?
Right. Mm. Also, Christ, his face has the appearance of lightning.
Right. Same thing. There's power there. That's real spirituality in these commandments.
Yes, sir.
And it's funny because you'll look back and you say, damn, I thought I knew something when I had some precepts, but now I read something and I see something more.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything starts having double meaning.
It's just you start to know. Like the way you and Tobias were going at each other during the interview, right? And just all this stuff starts popping in your head. Read on.
Verse 32. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face.
Because they couldn't take it. Right. He was so powerful and full of understanding and spirituality that it was too bright for their carnal bodies and their carnal minds. Wow. Come on. That was power in the commandments. That's the spirituality of the law. So in Romans 7, where Paul says the law is holy and just and good, mm-hmm. that's not just some throwaway words.
Right.
That's power. That's power. Come on.
But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil again on his face, upon his face again, until he went in to speak with him.
Now, we know that this physically happened,
yes.
And with the understanding of the removal of the veil, when you go into the New Testament, when they speak about that, it actually strengthens what I'm saying here, mm-hmm. because it says once you understand how that mediation, right, with the law of sacrifice was there only for a time,
right,
you no longer need the veil. You don't get it as a shadow of things. You get the full understanding. So the longer that you're in this, the more that you're in this, not only does your understanding open up more, but you will see physical changes in yourself.
Right.
You will see physical changes in yourself. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like you said, sometimes other people notice it more because you see your damn mug every day in the face, right? So you might not notice the changes right away, but other people will notice it in you.
I haven't seen my little sister in a while, and when I did see her, she says, brother, when did you become so spiritual? What the hell happened to you?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
And it's real. And I'm telling you, that's real spirituality. That's real power.
Yes,
that's
right.
There. That's real power. And that's why the enemies fear that. That's why that's why many of us are up on a tree thing with a little thing. Like we're talking about in the beginning with a little, with the little, you know, the little,
right.
Like a little org chart, right?
Right.
But, all right, this one's the head.
Right.
This one's in charge of this. This one's in charge of that. So on and so forth.
You up there,
anyway, man. Back to the young lords. I digress too much in that stuff. But is that, that's like me driving.
Right.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. I'll be in the car and I just start thinking about this stuff sometimes,
right,
man. Just
right.
Like random, bro. You know?
Yeah.
At the gym, bro. Like I'll be jumping rope and I just start thinking about stuff and whatever.
Right.
Just, that's it be coming out like that. But anyway, so what's important about this type of history, all right, and bringing this stuff out is to bring more support, to put up more on a pedestal what the scripture says about who those Israelites are, because there's still many, many that do not know. More are understanding. More are starting to see and getting it and accepting it. And that's only half the battle, because then the other part is that, you know, you got to repent,
right,
knowing it's not enough, like we just brought out. So I like to bring this stuff out, and this is where I feel that interview about the young lords, the same one we did to Dr. Sanchez about the Brown Berets, is so profound, because what it's going to do is it's going to show, all right, that what we read in Deuteronomy 28, okay, about the curses, who is for, and it identifies those people.
Right.
And then if we can get over those barriers of appearance that our oppressors have put in us,
right,
because that's basically a white supremacist mindset,
yeah, divide and conquer.
Right. Let's put the light one against the dark one. Mm-hmm. And it is just extremes of that lightness and that darkness as far as complexion. Then once you're able to put that behind, now we can start to move forward in unifying under this. All right, under this Bible. All right. So let me just read a little bit about the Young Lords, and I'm going to let the officer, who's actually pulled some clips and got some good insight to bring out on what he liked, all right, about some of this stuff with the interview.
They found that section of Cha-Cha Jimenez and when he started changing the game.
Okay. Let me read this first, and then we'll put that, up. So it says, the Young Lords, also known as the Young Lords Organization, all right, or Young Lords Party, was a Chicago-based street gang. Mm-hmm. It was a gang.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because not to glorify gangs, but it goes to show you how it's in our spirit to want to unify and come into some form of unity. They doing it in sin and wickedness.
Right.
You're in a gang. There's hierarchy. There's mm-hmm. order. You got knuckleheads coming here talking about there's no rank in the Bible. The hell is all this type of stuff? That became a civil and human rights organization. The group aims to fight for neighborhood empowerment and self-determination for Puerto Rico, Latinos, and colonized third world people. Tactics used by the Young Lords included mass education. And, mass education for them is like,
workshops
and things like that.
Yep.
We use mass education.
Mm-hmm.
In Ezra. Right. You read that when he says he opened up the scriptures and gave the sense.
Yes.
When they were going back to rebuild,
right.
They all gathered together.
Right.
And in part of that, that's a mass education that was happening.
Yep.
As they were unified and trying to rebuild the temple.
Right.
Right. So he says mass education, canvassing. Do you know what canvassing is?
Mm-mm.
Flyer missions.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Canvassing. That's flyer missions.
Mm-hmm.
You canvass an area with flyers.
Right.
They had literature that they canvassed for their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you that it's in our people to do these types of things spiritually.
Mm.
They're just lacking the unification that the Bible brings.
Yes, sir.
But the same way Moses couldn't understand why he was compelled to want to defend his people, but he was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Something in his spirit.
There's something
wow.
in our spirit that wants us, that we see that.
Right.
So, and we say, damn, man, my people, well, they're oppressed. I need mm-hmm. to help them.
Right.
So it says mass education, canvassing, community programs. We have community programs.
Community cleanup.
Yes. Occupations. Now, they're talking about that they would occupy, like when they occupied the church, when they occupied that stuff. Now, we're not doing sit-ins and things like that, but we damn sure occupy our camp spots and our neighborhoods that we present in.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And look at this. And direct confrontation.
Sound like teaching on the Sabbath.
That's good. That's camp. That's direct confrontation. That's camp.
Isaiah 58:1.
So it says the Young Lords became targets of the United States FBI's COINTELPRO program. Then that's another thing I don't even think that we got to talk about a little bit.
That's the list again.
Right, that's the list again. But it goes to show you what did they do in mass education, canvassing, community programs, occupations, direct confrontation that would get you targeted by the FBI.
Mm-mm.
Because they understand in their spirits that the severity of what that means
yeah.
for their rule.
Right.
My second clip
and
goes into a little bit of that.
Good. We'll bring it out. In party platform points, the Young Lords may spell America as Amerikakakan or American, right?
Mm-hmm.
Expressing, among other things, opposition to U.S. military presence in Puerto Rico, which we've spoken about at length on this show. And, it's like we left the book. I don't know if we go back to it. But we left the book. Remember, we were doing War Against All Puerto Ricans.
That book is heavy.
It was heavy.
Man.
It was heavy.
Beautiful.
That thing was heavy. And suggesting that America's success is rooted in white supremacy, which it has. You see, they say suggested because they got to be. It absolutely is rooted in white supremacy.
No doubt.
And those white supremacist thoughts and mindsets also permeate to our people, and this is why you'll have division. Right. So it says the platform follows the mission, clearly stating we demand immediate withdrawal of U.S. military forces and bases from Puerto Rico. Vietnam, they always wind up throwing some other stuff in there. And all oppressed communities inside and outside of the U.S. No Puerto Rican should serve in the U.S. Army against his brothers and sisters. For the only true army of oppressed people is the people's army to fight all rulers. So this is a little bit of background amongst the Young Lords. Many people will say they were like the Puerto Rican version of the Black Panthers, and this is done. It's a flattery. It's a compliment to say such a thing. And as we bring this stuff out, you'll understand as we discuss these recaps on the show how accurate that is. All right. So, hey, pull up real quick the little clip that I was telling you about, that snippet from the show.
Was very briefly highlighted in the Black Messiah film about Fred Hampton. Is
no, that's
Jimenez.
Not it. Yes, correct. Yep.
Chacha Jimenez was a gang leader.
Okay. Yes,
of a gang called the Young Lords.
So stop. So she's saying in the film Judas and the Black Messiah,
mm-hmm.
they show a little snippet, and it's by design that they didn't give more credence to it.
Right.
Plus, you know, they didn't want to take too much away. It was a film about Fred Hampton more than anything else. Okay. To show what many people didn't realize is that the Black Panther Party also had Northern Kingdom mm-hmm. and Northern Kingdom offshoots of what they were doing.
Wow.
And they supported each other. We got that direct from the founder of the Brown Berets in Dr.
Yes.
Sanchez talking about, he called it exchanging of talents.
Right.
When we did that interview. All right. And if you're curious to any of these interviews we're referencing, some may or may not be available. You can check the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page. All right. For some of this stuff. And he basically went on to say how, yes, like they had an interchanging of talents, and they would send people to each other that would help each other with some of these different tactics because it was the same goal they were ultimately
right.
trying to obtain. All right. So she's talking about the founder of the Young Lords here, Chacha Jimenez, and she says some profound things here. Go ahead.
Formed in 1959, he was caught up in recidivism, in and out of prison as a teenager. And in 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, he happened to be in a Chicago prison and was radicalized by the moment he started reading. And when he left prison, he decided to transform the Young Lords, the gang, into a political organization. And while in prison, he would hear on the radio reports on the Black Panther Party. And since the Black Panthers fought the police, he felt that that's something that the gang would understand. And so he set out to learn about the Black Panthers. He met Fred Hampton, and the leader of the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party. And Fred Hampton's meeting Chacha Jimenez was the linchpin of his Rainbow Coalition, a coalition that included Puerto Ricans and Mexicans in the Young Lords, Black Americans in the Black Panther Party, and poor whites from Appalachia who had migrated to Chicago and were in a group called the White Patriots. And this was a coalition, the Rainbow Coalition,
damn, some of that interview came out. All right, that's all I wanted on that. That's what my point being, and the emphasis on that is how it went from just this gang.
Yeah.
And while Chacha was in prison, he modeled after
Martin Luther King.
What she said with the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
All right. And it goes to show you in its own way. This was a form of the Tents of Judah being raised first.
Right.
She mentioned that at that time, that was the spirit around that time of being revolution.
Get me that about the Tents of Judah, and then I also want Genesis 49 and 8.
She's saying how at that time, that was the spirit of the time. That was
the zeitgeist of the time for our people anyway.
Right.
For our people anyway.
That it was, it's revolution. We
right.
see what's going
right.
on.
And the thing is, she did not understate it. She said, Chacha, studying the Black Panthers and what was going on with them, and then meeting him, she said, this was the linchpin.
I don't know why I was thinking 13.
She said, this was the linchpin.
Mm.
In what helped them form the Young Lords and start what he was doing as well. Meaning, so when something's a linchpin, it means it's the point at where like those two pieces connect to make something happen.
Right.
And basically, without that, if you pull that linchpin out, it never happens. Mm-hmm. So she's saying this is how profound the impact of the Panthers were, and this is why I say it's even though it was without the scriptures, it was with the love of the people involved. Just like Moses initially, I don't know why he beat down that Egyptian, killed that Egyptian.
Right.
He just saw and he said, "Damn,
this ain't right.
Right. This ain't right.
Something ain't right."
Right. So he stood up for something.
Right.
He didn't have the understanding of the commandments and everything yet. Hell, he didn't have them until he actually took them out of Egypt.
Right. He was actually pretty much Egyptian.
When did he get the commandments?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
Right. Oh, wow.
But he said, "This ain't right. I got to do something."
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to stand up.
That's when he got everything in detail to re-give to the people, when he was in the wilderness.
Mm,
But he was driven to something. So that's the same type of thing that you see here. So this is why I say it's very similar. So first let me get Genesis 49 and 8. Genesis 49 and 8.
Sir.
The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 8.
Freedom!
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy.
Why? Because Judah first, right? Judah's hand was there in the neck of his enemies always. I've said this before on the show. Northern kingdom would not have risen up to do any of these things, potentially. They had not seen Judah doing it. Mm-hmm. And we know that firsthand with the young lords.
Right, yes.
And the Brown Berets started their thing before, but they were inspired by the Black Panthers.
Yes.
To the point where they said, "Hey, we got to reach out to these guys so we can learn from them." I don't know if you're going to bring that out. There's another point where she talks about that whole military discipline aspect came from them sitting with the Black. She said the Black Panthers came and taught the young lords that militaristic action and how to be disciplined and bring this stuff out. So there's always this connection between the kingdoms, between the tribes in that way.
Yeah.
So to have people out there try to say with all the body of evidence scripturally and then historically that the so-called Hispanics, Native Indigenous, are not the Israelites, you just literally out the spirit. There's no spirituality in you.
Right.
Damn.
You just have flesh upon the bones, but breath of life is not in you.
Right.
So you don't understand those things. So it says the hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Come on.
In the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee.
Right, and these go into the various prophecies. Judah, the scepter shall not depart. Christ coming from the tribe of Judah. All right, get me this about the tents of Judah.
This is the book of Zechariah, chapter 12 and verse 7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first.
Why? Because that Judah had that spirit. Judah was the one that was going to go ahead and be that inspiration to the other tribes. You didn't see no Puerto Ricans or Mexicans talking about we're the Israelites.
Right.
Nope.
It was Judah that did that. Mm-hmm. And just like you didn't see no Puerto Ricans, Cha-Cha was in a gang. Until he saw what the Black Panthers were doing.
Right.
And he said, "I'm going to come out here and change this gang.
Change the gang.
And I'm going to." And she was telling you, she said, the gang jived with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first,
because
she said,
made sense.
She said at first they weren't with it until one of the members of the young lords, when they were a gang, got killed by a police. And they said, you know what?
That's when they really unified. Right.
Yes.
So, yes. So I think she said something to the effect she had some that were with him, but not all.
Exactly.
And it wasn't until one of them got killed by the cops that they all kind of galvanized together behind that.
And
that's
when they said, "No, let's do this politically."
Yep, let's do this politically, right? So this was my point. That's all I wanted at, just that the tents of Judah would be raised first.
Right.
And you're seeing that in the way that she gave this example of the linchpin of the Black Panther Party being the model for that, being the model for that. Go ahead, bring out what you want
to
bring up.
Give me Deuteronomy 33 and verse 7, going back to Judah, and then get that clip ready for me. Because yes, Judah has been. I'll praise the Most High. Judah's one of. When I was a kid, man, I wanted to be Judah.
Damn, you didn't want to be Mexican?
No, I told my mom, yo, I want to be black. And she was like, you crazy.
We all do the opposite.
Guess what, though? I was going to say, your dream came true.
We all do the opposite.
That's right. That's right. No,
your
man, but hey, Judah has done it because that's Judah's blessing. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 7.
Yes, sir. This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people.
And this is what happened. This is what happened in the 60s and in these last, and also in the 60s with the Black Panthers and the Young Lords, and also with...
Well, even Malcolm, even Martin Luther
Malcolm
King.
X.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And also with Elijah coming back, because guess what? The tents of Judah, like we read in Zechariah, were going to be raised up first. And guess what? He was going to bring his people unto him. So they were bringing out an example of what to do. Hey, we need to go against this oppression.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand up for our people and do things like breakfast programs for our people. Mm-hmm. All right? So play that clip. This is something heavy that stood out to me.
Newspaper. And in Chicago, the Young Lords was composed of Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. So there was a tremendous amount of solidarity. When I interviewed the folks in Chicago, the Young Lords, they mentioned that the Black Panthers didn't think that they were better than the Young Lords.
Mm-hmm.
That part.
Hey, that's heavy right there.
That part.
That's heavy. You know where you going?
Jeremiah 50:33. Is that where you go? Is that what you want?
Bring it out.
Did you want Romans?
No, I don't want Romans.
Okay.
I don't want Romans.
That part was heavy to me.
Mm-hmm.
That the Black Panthers didn't think themselves better than the Young Lords.
Bring that one, and then go ahead. I'll tell you the other one I want.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
Right. So in all points and in all things, we were dealing with issues together. We were dealing with all these issues together. You can bring out what you want to bring out in Romans.
Okay.
Was that in on that? You want to bring out more on that?
And all that took them captives held them fast and refused to let them go.
Yeah, we brought that out a lot on this show and refused to let them go. We know why they can't let them go, because then we're going to unify. We're going to come together, and the prophecies will be fulfilled in the scriptures. I want Isaiah 11 and 13, and then run back a few seconds what she just said.
I got you.
Wait, but don't read it yet. Run back a few seconds what she just said.
Go ahead.
So the Young Lords, they mentioned that the Black Panthers didn't think that they were better than the Young Lords.
Stop. So, see, a lot of people get this one twisted all the time.
Bring it out, especially,
and I've spoken about this culturally, how the upbringing might have been slight. Though we were in the same afflictions, our upbringings were a little different, right? So you'll have some cultural differences in how we may act with each other, so on and so forth, especially the growing pains of first coming into. It's like I said, it's more the sisters that get all uppity about this stuff. It's not the brothers.
Right.
All right. And they'll talk about, they'll say, Northern Kingdom vexing Judah. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. And what she just said here goes to show you that the Black Panthers, he said, they didn't think they were better, meaning they didn't come in there with that spirit of vexing Ephraim, which is what the scriptures say. Read this in Isaiah 11 and 13.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 13. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart.
Remember, it said Ephraim was envious of Judah. It didn't say they vexed him. You know how many times, man, I'll hear a sister drop that thing.
I bet.
Oh, that's just Northern Kingdom vexing. That's not what the scripture says.
Get it right.
Get it correct. That's not what the scripture says.
Hell no.
The scripture said Northern Kingdom would envy Southern Kingdom.
Right.
It said that Southern Kingdom would vex Ephraim.
Right.
And that's what you see going on still to this day.
Yes, sir.
Even amongst believers that are together with that stuff. And I'm the last one to say Northern Kingdom is right, because we ain't right. We crazy as hell, just like all Israel, man. The whole head is sick.
That's right.
And the heart is weak, right? The heart is faint. So it says the envy of Ephraim shall depart. Well, guess what? Cha-Cha said, I don't care about none of that stuff. Black Panthers is doing their thing.
Right.
They learn from them. Yeah. And so we're going to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
That spirit of envy goes away. That's humility to say we're going to learn from them.
Yeah.
And not just we're going to learn from them. I want them to come in and speak to my people so that they can teach us their ways. And in turn, did the Black Panther Party vex them and say, no, the hell with y'all, you wetbacks?
No.
Y'all ain't with us. Y'all ain't down with us.
Y'all not our people.
Y'all not our people. They didn't say that.
No, sir.
She said in her research and speaking with them, she said they didn't think they were better.
Right.
They saw comrades in arms who were going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So what the hell's wrong with our people when they got these scriptures here?
We got our oppressor's mindset.
That's the white supremacist mindset.
Yeah, individuality.
Yes. I didn't get to really dissect the white animus as deep as I wanted to. We got to run back to that at some point, too. But it was going to go into that.
Right.
And I spoke about it briefly about how that mindset is still in our people today. Read this from the top again.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 13. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart.
Right? The envy of Ephraim shall depart. Come on.
And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
Mm. And you saw shades of that going on. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the thing that really terrifies our oppressors now.
Yeah.
But then you got knuckleheads amongst our people that see what they call soaking brown together,
right,
and they freaking scoffing.
Mm-hmm.
Scoffing.
Right.
Hey, and I'm going to tell you something. It's always from the Judah side.
Hey, real talk.
Because I don't see no comments where they're saying, those blacks aren't the Israelites.
Right.
Those are Mamzers.
Like the brother at camp that time. Remember?
Right.
Prison guy.
I don't see none of that.
Oh, that was a getter. He was that. Okay.
Right.
He was
I don't see them saying none of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But the point is, she made a heavy point that she was bringing out. That might not have been what you wanted to emphasize. I keep pulling it from you.
No, you're fine.
But I find that very heavy because that stuff has to let enmity cease,
yes,
the scripture
sir.
Says.
Sir.
How can we get the kingdom if we don't unify, if you don't see?
Right. If we can't rule together, we're not going to rule at all.
Right.
At all. There's
right.
no kingdom.
No.
Right.
No.
There is no kingdom without all the tribes.
Let me back it up because I want to get this scripture. Give me Amos 9. Give me Amos 9, chapter 9, verse 11. Because again, what you said earlier was heavy. You're out the spirit. That's not what the Bible says. If you don't want Latinos to come in and unify with so-called blacks and be a nation, like the scripture says, we ain't going nowhere.
Nope.
We're going to be on the
right here.
Cycle, on that Willie Lynch cycle over and over and over and over again. But look at what the prophecy says. Go ahead.
This is the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen.
Come on.
And close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
Mm. How? All 12 tribes unified. All 12 tribes must come to back as in the days of old, unified. Yes, did we have? You read in the scriptures where we were vexing each other and envying each other.
Right. There was beef going on, but we were unified.
Yeah.
And guess what? When we reunify, it's not going to be that way.
Right.
Shiloh,
all that stuff will be done away.
Right. Shiloh shall come. And guess what? All that, the right, no more vexing or envying between each
right,
other.
Right, right.
So that's how I had on that point. You got something else?
No. Go ahead. Bring it out.
Let me get the other point.
Okay.
Going into capitalism, because it was heavy.
Are you done with but this was your clip.
Yeah.
Are you done with this clip?
That one, I'm done.
That was it? That's all you wanted to hear?
Yeah.
I thought she had more to say.
You want to keep going?
Well, let's hear a little bit. Maybe she got a little more to say. But hold your thoughts. I don't want you to lose your thoughts.
Go ahead. It's just very heavy to me what she's saying, how they didn't think themselves.
Hey, before you played it, I'll address this in the comments. Yes, brothers and sisters, let's not beat up the brother. He seems to be humble in saying he did not understand about the book of Jasher. All right? So all praises, that's not a book that's in the Bible. Well, let me correct myself with this. I've spoken about this on the shows before. All right. The issue with those books, though, you might hear, mention of like Jubilees and Enoch and stuff in the 1611, is that since it was not with the original, scrolls together, that book of Jasher, that book of Jubilees that you find online or in the store, that book of Enoch, is not the book that goes with the scripture. First off, our leaders have looked at those things and they've shown that it contradicts the scripture.
Right.
The difference between all the other books in the Bible is that they do not contradict each other. Mm-hmm. All right. So you have to understand that first. Secondly, the thing is they basically just wrote a book and they're calling it that name. Right. That's like if I took Julia Child's cookbook, 100 years passed by, nobody knows who she is, and I call it the Book of Jasher. All right? I call it the Book of Enoch. So no, Brother Reginald, do not deal with any of those books that's not in the 1611, all right, because they're not the legit ones. I've shared this story before. I will tell you from my own experience. Very early on, getting into the scriptures, I went looking for the Book of Enoch. It wasn't even in the section in the bookstore of religious text.
Right.
It was in the witchcraft section. It was like in sorcery and stuff. That's where they cataloged that book. So even Esau knows that book is trash.
Can I add something real quick?
Even Esau know that. Go ahead.
There are no fallen angels.
Oh, God. Somebody else is saying about fallen angels?
I don't know, but yeah, I'm just saying that because that's right. What the Book of Enoch's about.
Right. Right.
About the fallen angels and what they did, and yeah, that's
uh-huh. Yeah. So don't get into none of that stuff. It's not those books. It's people that just decided to write a book. Unlike the scripture, like you read in Peter's, you know, it was by inspiration of God,
right?
That holy men, devout men wrote it. Not like the Jasher and Jubilees and Enoch
stumbling blocks.
You see. Yeah, that's just stumbling blocks. It's either going to pull you away from your learning or it's going to really slow your learning if you're able to endure long enough to realize that it's trash, all right? So just...
And brother, go to IsraelUnite.org, IsraelUnite.org, and look for a school near you. Go on to contact us and look for a school near you so you can be guided and you can be so you can learn. The scripture says, how should I know lest a man shall guide me?
Right, right. Sure. Yep. Yeah. And like I said, the bottom line is that those books are contradictions to what the scripture says. It's the white man's jargon, the white man's religion.
If it ain't talking about keeping the laws.
Right. Right.
And I don't think it has anything
to do with it. The issue is that it's a book that they're calling the Book of Enoch. It's not the Book of Enoch from the Bible. It's not the Book of Enoch. And it's hard to know that if you're early in this walk because you don't have a foundation in the milk. Right.
Exactly.
Scripture talks about you have need that you must be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have to have a good foundation in those oracles before you start going off into other books. But that's just advice.
Right.
You can take it
advice.
If you want to.
That's good. Damn
all right.
Good advice.
Anyway, go ahead. Play this again.
They worked together toward a similar end.
Stop.
And,
so she says the Black Panthers and the Young Lords work together towards a similar end.
Man, that's scriptural, man.
Towards a similar end. All right, come on.
There was a tremendous sense of solidarity. There was optimism about the future. People really believed that revolution was, you know, not far away, and that people of color and white Americans who were progressive needed to come together and take
right, because they realize if you're going to play in Esau's sandbox, you can't do it without some of the white people
right.
there. That's what
right.
they that's what they were trying to do. But that's it. I just wanted to hear a few more verses that she had. Go ahead, Officer Shai. Bring out what you're going
to
bring out.
Go to the next clip, the next timestamp that I gave you. you got something?
You were going to bring something else out, though, before I cut you.
No, I brought it out. Amos.
That was it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
This part, she's going to go into capitalism and going back to we don't have our own mindset and we need to start. The scriptures is going to change our mindset. The scripture says, Christ said, you must need to be born again. And even you've been in it for, what, 10, 11 years? 12?
14.
14. And I've been in, it's about to be 6 years, right? So, we're yet learning that new mindset.
Big time. I learn it every moment.
Yeah.
Every day, that new mindset.
Yeah.
All right? The freaking, spick mentality comes up in my head often.
It's an everyday fight.
So Paul said, I die daily.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He says, I hold under myself the old man, basically. Old man.
So, yep. Mm-hmm. But watch this, brothers and sisters. What she says that the mindset of the young lords at this time. Go ahead.
Hey, brothers and sisters, hold on. Brothers and sisters, that don't worry about going off in the chat. Let's pay attention to the edification that's coming out. Remember, some people are going to be subverted of their own selves, all right, and their own pride is going to prevent them from seeing something. I'm pretty sure if the brother that says he finds no contradictions, I could pull random scriptures in the 1611 that he will probably not be able to explain correctly. So, of course, what is he going to know what a contradiction is,
right.
all
right?
And there is no such thing as a contradiction. It's just his learning is subdued. All right. So, you know, moderator, you can welcome him to Blakanda. All right. he's pushing a heresy. And brothers and sisters, you stay on topic. All right. You stay on topic. Don't worry about trying to defend the gospel. I think that's Victor Thomas. So y'all can send him to Blakanda. All right. In the words of Captain Yadin. Welcome to Blakanda.
Is that where I come from?
Captain Yadin. he be moderating the Sabbath. Yeah. Chad, he says, he gives them a warning. He says, bro, you're about to get Blakanda. And they're like, welcome to Blakanda. So, all right. You can send Victor on his way. And go ahead. Let's get back on topic. Let's pay attention, brothers and sisters. Let's pay attention.
The rest of the book is on the New York chapter of the Young Lords. So I interviewed all of, or
is
most 5542? Of the Young Lords in New York, all of its leadership.
Go back. Right there. Because you started going into the meaning of radical.
Yes.
And how it has a negative connotation.
It has a negative connotation, and they'll use that a lot in the media because it's one of those trigger words that makes it seem like it's something terrible.
Correct.
And all it really means is revolutionary or trying to reform. You're trying to change something that should be changed.
Correct. Go ahead.
Here I go. The rest of the book is on the New York chapter of the Young Lords. So I interviewed all of, or most of the Young Lords in New York, all of its leadership, Juan Gonzalez.
I forgot about Juan Gonzalez too. We got to see if we can get him.
The chairman of the organization, Felipe Luciano,
No, that's not it. I got to find it. It's somewhere around there.
Hey, one quick point on the radicals. Let's get the definition of radical. Because we were talking about the point of, you'll notice they'll always say radical, right? And the media will use it in a negative term. Her book is The Young Lords, A Radical History. But it's a positive when you see radical, because radical is the second definition I want. It says advocating or based on thorough or complete political or social change, representing or supporting an extreme or progressive section of a political party. So they'll put it through politics. But if you take that out the game, social reform is what we're looking on. And the social reform that we're seeking, you hear it in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
Christ was a radical because that's what he was speaking about. Mm-hmm. This is why they tried to bring him to the Romans to say, see, he's trying to say that, you know, he's the king, that this is going to be what, you know, and that's true. He was a radical in that regard. So look at some of the similar words for radical, and it says revolutionary, progressive, reforming, revisionist, all right? And then they'll try to put political terms on there. Look at one of the similitudes, fanatical, extreme. Well, we are extreme. The scripture says that this is what we do. Because remember, Paul says, they that profess such things state plainly that they seek a country. All right? Mm-hmm. Let's get that real quick. And then I also want Acts 17 and 6. Do you know where that's at?
I do not.
Hebrew,
is that it? No.
No. They that profess such things.
Yeah, it's Hebrews.
Is it Hebrews?
Yes.
Okay.
It's either 11 or 12.
Yeah, I think it is 11. You're right. It's Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11, 14.
And 14. Yep. No, start at 13.
This is the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises.
Right, so he speaks about some of the forefathers and the examples that they were in faith, right? Come on.
But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them.
Right. They never received what the promises were in the scriptures, but he said they saw them afar off and they had belief that they would be promised to them. So they embraced them. And by embracing them, as we continue to read on, you see that that made them radical. That made them revolutionary. I'm going to show you how. Come on.
And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
If you're really about this Bible, if you're really about these scriptures, you'll understand that this is not your rest.
Right.
You'll understand that you're a pilgrim, you're a stranger, you're a sojourner in this place. I believe I did a class on that some years back. That's also on the IUIC Phoenix page, all right? And what that means to be a stranger, a pilgrim, or sojourner, it means that our stay here is temporary. Though it may seem forever,
right.
Though it may seem so cyclical of the same atrocities years after years, the same conditions, the same curses, the lack of respect, us being the tail and not the head, it says your faith should tell you that you should embrace that this is a temporary thing, that this is not our rest. And he says, when you do that, read on.
Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Because when you say that this is not your rest, when you say that this is not your place, what you're really saying is that you're seeking someplace better. So when you are radical, you are revisionist, you are seeking reform, just like the foundation of the apostles. Let's get that in Acts 17 and 6. Acts 17 and 6. You want to change things. Look, militant, diehard, extremist. All trigger words with negative connotations. Come on, read.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.
That's how they referred to the apostles. They said, these are the brothers that have turned the world upside down, because that's our mission.
That's right.
We say plainly that we seek a country. When you read in Hebrews and you read on, he says, not just that, you say that you seek a better country. Because it says, if we'd have been mindful of the first one that we were given, we'd have never lost it.
Right. Bring it out.
But we were not. So now we're stuck with where we at. But we are radical. We are extreme as far as this Bible is concerned.
That's right.
Don't let them try to twist those words and make it seem like something negative. You headed in the right direction if you're controversial in that way, because it upsets the status quo. Mm-hmm. It upsets the accepted norms. It upsets the white supremacist mindset and ideology that's there.
Right.
And this is why it's seen as a negative. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody ever fool you into thinking that what you're doing, and I know you might not be fooled by any so-called Edomites, white people, all right? But you might have family that say you're racist, you're this, that, and the other. Listen, they don't get it yet. Maybe, Lord's will, they will. You just continue being that righteous example.
That's right.
And engage in that spiritual warfare, because we're not trying to do anything physical to overthrow anything.
No, sir.
And engage in that spiritual warfare, and you'll see, right? You wear that moniker happily, that you're a radical,
right.
That you're extreme, mm-hmm. That you're fanatical for God, all right? Go ahead.
So I found it. It was 41, 43 around there. Go ahead. Oh, and this is exactly what you just saying. Go ahead.
Specifically targeted by that COINTELPRO program.
Well, I think it's important to say that the Young Lords, like the Black Panthers, were self-proclaimed revolutionaries.
Right.
They believed that capitalism is a system organized around profit and its pursuit that ignores human need, and that's a bad thing.
Mm.
So they were socialists, self-proclaimed socialists. They believed that.
So it says, this kingdom is capitalist. It's all about gain. And you know what, man? I ain't going to lie, man. It's hard to be like, you know what? Me, about me. Because we have that mindset of our oppressors. Mm-hmm. But let me get Matthew chapter 5. because we got to change our mind. And she says,
five and what, sir?
Seek ye the kingdom of heaven first.
That's 6:33.
Give me that. Let's start there. Because this society is capitalism, right? About gain. But the Young Lords and their mindset, as well as the Black Panthers, were about socialists, about the needs of the people, the basic needs of the people of everyday life. Just give me that. Go ahead.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. Freedom! But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
No, start at verse 32. I'm sorry. He's going in. Christ is going into, don't think of what about tomorrow. Like if you're not going to have food, drink.
That's 24.
No, verse 32.
Okay.
Verse 32. Go ahead.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek.
They seek of tomorrow, of what I need for tomorrow. What else can I bring to the table? That next gain, the next profit. Go ahead.
For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
The Lord knows that. He said the chief things of life is food, water, clothes, a home to cover shame, right? Those are the chief things in life. And this kingdom teaches you, you need that and more. But the Lord said, go ahead.
Verse 32 again.
33.
Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
And all these, it said, seek ye the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven first is unifying the people. Mm-hmm. Getting the people first to understand, hey, we're the, in our time, and what we do is we're the Israelites.
Working to reestablish the tabernacles of David, that's like right. In the days of old, like you brought out in Amos. Yep. That's why it says, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis needs to be gather yourselves together in what, though? Right.
Exactly.
Because you can gather together for a marijuana party.
Right.
You can gather together as a gang. Mm-hmm. You can gather together for, like, hedonism. A
party.
Different stuff like that.
Right.
You can gather together LGBTQ elemental P.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what it's saying you should gather together in.
No, sir.
The emphasis is gather together in this Bible, in these commandments.
Seek ye the kingdom of heaven first. And what they were doing is they were gathering together and, all right, we need to make a change in our communities. Because they saw the problem. They saw that there was racism. There was so small as that they couldn't go to the beach. That the beach was, what was it called? It was gentrified.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we need to, in that time, in the 60s, and what the Young Lords and the Black Panthers did, they said, we need to gather together to make a change in our community.
Right. Yeah.
But now in these times, and in the last days, the Lord is raising up the prophets to bring us together to seek the kingdom. We don't want to share. We don't want to be equally with our oppressors.
Right.
No, we want to be the rulers.
That's right. Esau not going to rule here and there as well.
Right. Right.
Hey, look up socialism.
Oh, and then also, because we were going into capitalism, socialism before. And that was so heavy because the Young Lords, they were doing this. They said, no, it's not about gain. It's about us as an equal.
Mm-hmm. And I just want that definition. I'm not going to get too into this because for some people, that's a hot button trigger word.
Right. Politics.
Right. Like they'll say that stuff. But there's just elements from this that I want. And then again, you know, socialism is a dirty word, right? So it says a political and economic theory of social organization. Well, I'm going to show you how in the Bible it's not a theory and how under the Most High in Christ and keeping his commandments, it's actually a good thing. All right. As I continue to read this definition, give me Acts 2 and 41. And I also want Acts 4 and 32. So. It says a political and economic theory of social organization, which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole.
Mm.
So essentially what it's saying is that we should be in control.
Right.
We should have our commerce amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is what Black Wall Street was about.
Right. Yes. Right. Every other nation has it.
Every other nation has it, but they don't want to call it socialism.
Right.
They don't call it those trigger words to say that. And modern socialism, I'll say that, modern socialism is distorted because they try to throw the homosexuality agenda into that. They try to throw everybody's equal and inclusive into that.
Chinese hate.
Right. All that stuff gets thrown in the mix. Right. But it was really dealing with production, distribution, and exchange of things in a community. It's dealing with the economics of a community,
right,
unified, and that they handle it and they run it. What were you going to say? I see you pointing.
These words, like you said, the modern socialism, and then they have all these funny words, leftism,
yeah,
syndicalism,
uh-huh,
utopian socialism.
Right. Well, a utopia is a paradise.
Yes.
It's something that's working beautifully. Unlike dystopian, sometimes you'll see movies that are, they say, oh, this is a dystopian movie.
Right.
And it's like those kind of end of the world kind of things, of apocalyptic type of things, right? Utopia means what? Seeking a better country,
right,
like it says in Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
But let me show you examples of what would be called socialism today, but the Bible called the community of possessions, or having all things common. All right. So let's get that in Acts.
You said two and
start at 41, 2 and 41.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 41.
Read it out.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Now, that baptism is that understanding in Christ. It don't mean that they dipped 3,000 people into the freaking water and that they were changed.
Right.
I'm going to show you why that's the case, all right? Because as you read on, it actually makes all the sense in the world, all right? Some Bibles have a little thing here. They call it the community of believers. The difference here is that they all believe the same thing. And when you believe something, you live it. You
that's
act
right.
it out. You don't just say you do. You don't just think you do.
Right.
You embody it. You manifest that belief by your actions.
That's
read.
Right. And they continued steadfastly. Apostles' doctrine.
Which was the doctrine of Christ. Come on.
And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer.
Letting you know they were of one mind and of one spirit. Read on.
And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Come on.
And all that believed were together, and had all things common.
Like we just read, what they call socialism. But modern-day socialism gets perverted. Because, again, this is their ways of trying to infiltrate, all right? This is what we are trying to build as we build a nation together. Some measure of self-sufficiency as much as possible. We understand the curses say in want of all things, so certain things we won't be able to change and we won't be able to affect. But as much as we're able to, the Most High will bless that endeavor if we're moving in the right spirit. What? Being a community of believers, having those things common. And it says, and all that believe were together and had all things common. Now, this ain't some funky commune from like the Woodstock era. That's not what it's talking about.
Right.
It's talking about a la Black Wall Street type of scenario where we all worked and functioned together. And who was in charge at this time? The Romans. So they did this under the Roman government. So it goes to show you that it can be done. All right, read.
Verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need.
Now, that don't mean, see, people take this extreme thing, and they'll say, sell all your stuff,
right,
and now you ain't got a house.
Right. You're homeless now.
Right. Sell your car, and now you can't get it. Or here, sell your horse or your
right.
ox, and now you can't
right.
get your stuff home to market and stuff like that.
Right.
It means that those that had an abundance, they said, hey, I'm going to trim this down a little bit.
Right.
I'm going to be self-sufficient, take what I need, and I'm going to contribute for everybody to help everybody else. You read that in the New Testament where it says, them who stole, steal no more, but work so that you can have to them that give
right.
that have need.
Yes,
all right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Thessalonians, what it says, them that did not work did not eat.
Right.
Because that comes from this, from the community of possessions. It makes you understand that. Because they were working. They were no freeloaders.
Right.
There weren't going to be no welfare in that situation.
Right.
You had to contribute to the economy
mm-hmm.
of the community. Read
right.
on. And then you can bring out what you want to bring out. Read
on. I just wanted to say something. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple.
Again, but they were all in one belief and one mind. So that's how you're able to make something like what they call socialism today work. Come on.
And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
That's the point. They were glad. Nobody was like trying to have that capitalist thing and that
yeah.
capitalist mindset of you know, me above any, you know,
right.
get rich or die trying type of BS.
Right.
That's a white supremacist mindset.
Right. Yeah,
you rolling in that way. If you need to make gain by stepping on your brothers and sisters, then that's no gain at all.
Yes, sir.
You've given up your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Acts 4. Say what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, because there's another scripture that said they laid it at the apostles' feet and distribution.
Well, that's where we're going now, Acts 4. Yep. Yeah, you in the spirit. That's Acts 4.
435.
Let me see. I had said 32, but maybe I want you to. No, let me. Maybe for time, I just want you to jump down.
34?
34. Start at 34. That's a good start.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
Right. So some people might have been in the struggle and they might. Hey, listen, I'm a little short on this. I'm a little short on that. So you give them a little boost. Right. Or stimmy.
Stimmy.
Bring it up.
You give them the stimulus.
Right.
All right. Until they can get on their feet.
Yes, sir.
All right. Come on.
And laid them down at the apostles' feet.
So it lets you know that those who had of those extra things, that stuff was sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And, you know, some people say, oh, you're adding words. It doesn't say that they had extra. What sense would it make, you freaking morons, all right, if they sold everything they had and now they're in the same predicament?
You
read that in the Apocrypha. There's a scripture that says something about helping, but see that you don't fall into the same.
Right. Yep.
All right? So it's common sense that you're not going to not have any. Now you're the one that needs help.
Right,
so
right.
Nobody's ever going to get help. You know what? That's like a susu.
Right.
You know the susu, the little the money thing that Levi be doing, other communities do it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, everybody pitch something
in,
and then somebody get it this week.
Right, but then somebody always wind up getting burnt because somebody said, well, you know what? I ain't paying
cool,
it back.
I'm cool. Yeah. Okay. They got theirs. So
I ain't paying it back. I got my lot. Now I ain't paying it back. Now the whole fucking thing. The whole freaking thing collapsed. Sorry. Part of my language. Beep it out.
Yeah,
no. I'm sorry. Read that again.
Verse 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
Right. And what did anyone say? Oh, well, you know, I want you to spend it here. I want you to spend it there.
Right.
Right, when you read up, it talks about how the apostles displayed great power was given to them by their witness of the resurrection and everything. They gave them the respect that they deserved for their work's sake.
Right.
And they said, we trust you to take these funds and distribute it as there's need within the body.
That's leadership.
Because we're all in one accord and in one mind.
Right.
We're not going to have that capitalist. Let me tell you something. Anybody who has an issue with those type of things, you have a white supremacist capitalist mindset. You got to get your mind up on what the world calls socialism. The Bible calls the community of possessions.
Yes, sir.
This is why I say, everybody, Black Wall Street, let's support each other. If your mind is still on capitalism, it's not going to work. It's not to say don't make a profit. It's not to say that you shouldn't be successful, but don't be successful unethically, immorally, and trying to keep people down. And also don't be the person that always want a discount. You should be trying to support the business.
That's right.
Oh, that's too much. I don't want to do that. And then you mad why there ain't more Black or Hispanic-owned businesses in your neighborhood.
You don't want to pay for that.
No, but you'll pay the white man and the Chinese man whatever he say the food is.
Right. We don't have supply chains, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of supply chains where we can bring down the price.
Right.
And I get it. You know, I understand. We're so mentally trained to, oh, no, it's cheaper over here. And don't get me wrong. It's hard because we've been – give me Isaiah 55.
Wait, before you do that, let me finish these verses.
Okay.
And then you could go – don't lose your thought, though.
Yes,
go ahead, read on.
Verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles –
oh, no, so that was it. That's all I wanted. So you're good. All right, so you are good. Go ahead, officer.
Isaiah 55 and 8. Because I myself sometimes be like, dang, this is a little expensive. But I'm like, you know what? For example, I'm not going to say the Passover garments were expensive. Bro, they're bad, man. They bad garments.
Yeah, it is.
And we got to think of, you have sisters doing some bootleg garments, right?
I remember that.
Doing some bootleg garments because they want to make a profit.
Yeah.
But when we have order.
Capitalism.
We have order and structure here. And I get it because we've been under Esau's hand and we have.
Yeah, but don't get it too much because they out the damn spirit. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Here's another musing that I had in the car.
Bring it out.
Bring it out. Bring it out, Cap.
You have, and it's mostly the sisters, and the sisters can argue and they say, well, the men's garments were so bad, so of course the men ain't going to complain. Well, the kings and priests of the Most High should look real bad.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
It is say, listen, we not your glory. You're supposed to be our glory
That's
as
right.
your her example.
That's right.
Woman
right.
is the glory of man.
That's right.
Same.
So you're not supposed to look like the same level as we look.
And the head of the woman is
right.
the man.
It's not, and it's not like it's sackcloth
right.
that we got sisters in.
Right.
All right? But I'm going to tell you something, just to show you the hypocritical spirit when it comes to people who rebel against that and want to go out and they'll still spend money somewhere else on something else. And this is barring any issues, right? Obviously, if there's some quality issues or whatever, then you know, you work that out, all right?
Sure.
But, you know, so much hate about being in uniform. When you go and you worked at a job that required a uniform,
and it was ugly as hell.
And it was ugly as hell.
Orange shirt.
Or even worse,
right.
you have to wear pants when you should be wearing a dress.
Bring it out.
You don't rebel like that. When you got to work for FedEx, UPS, Dunkin' Donuts,
right.
Burger King, whatever the hell job you at, the hospital and scrubs,
right.
you didn't freaking rebel against that. It goes to show you the twisted spirit. You're okay when your oppressor says you must wear a uniform. But let your people say you must wear a uniform. And guess what? Most of the time, you got to buy that uniform. It comes out your salary,
right?
Very rarely are they giving you the uniform. And if they do, they might give you the first shirt.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yes, they do. They give
you
the first shirt.
And then the rest you got to buy.
Mm-hmm. Nobody gives out uniforms.
Nobody giving out uniforms like that no more.
No, not even when I was a kid.
And not just that. You better wear that thing properly or you ain't going to have a job no more.
Right.
Buttoned up, however
you better
they
represent
want.
Your slave master's last name, right?
Hey, Cap, with some jobs too, they won't even let you wear certain brands. You can only wear their brand.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Hey, I used to work in clothing stores years back.
Right.
Lord forbid you show up there with like you know.
Sure
no, so
there.
So if I was in the Gap bar, I better not show up there with an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt.
right.
You in trouble.
Yeah.
You gonna be your behind gonna be sent home.
Wow.
So somebody mad because we sent somebody away because you didn't come in uniform?
Mm.
You best believe that's how it's going to go down.
Hey, and you...
Someone said Target uniform. Right. You got to wear the freaking ugly red shirt.
Right.
Target.
Hey,
hey, and you had chance to come
Look,
up to
someone said
leadership.
It ain't no more free uniform, especially
nah,
not in this
nah.
economy.
Nah, man.
And even if it was, they only gave you like the first one or two shirts
right.
for free.
Uniform
nightmares, right? Hey, I'm sure we all got stories.
Right, yeah,
but we
yeah.
never bucked up.
No, nah, nope.
Because you wanted that paycheck.
Paid, yeah, for sure.
But the thing is, you don't see the same value in the knowledge and the understanding that you get in
right.
here. That's why you have that spirit of not wanting to be in unity.
Hey, and
y'all should be running
the leadership
when a uniform requirement comes
that's
out.
That's right.
Yes, sir. The leadership does it to where, hey, if you're struggling, guess what? Come speak to them.
Right. right.
Come speak to us and say, look, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Can y'all help?
And that's mm-hmm. everything. That's everything.
Yeah. yeah.
Leadership help with everything.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah.
I want to go make my own
Wow.
thing.
Someone said Disney wants everyone to wear the same underwear. Well, you can't even see the underwear in most cases, but they tell
Bruh.
You wear the same underwear.
Wow.
Bro, they probably check you, too, because they make you buy it. And they be like, hey, you didn't buy your allotment of underwear this
month
Disney for your uniform.
On.
right. Hey, drawer check. You got your Disney drawers on? Wow. Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress. Go ahead. We're almost out of time.
Isaiah 55 and 8.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. I'm sorry. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
And we got to start changing our mindset. We need to start having that unity mindset. So if the leadership says, yo, we need alms so we can help out the people, don't neglect that.
Right.
Don't neglect that. And that's something that stood out to me, what the young lords had. They had that unity mindset, the basic needs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we struggle with that. Something that we struggle with, that I see here in the congregations too. That we struggle with.
So they take selfies in their captivity uniforms. You're damn right they do.
right.
Right. Damn right. Yeah, man. Well, we
a lot more we
yeah.
can go into.
Well, there is. Hey, maybe we could do a little more commentary,
right.
you know, on the next show. We will not be on next week, all right? We have traveling and stuff going on for Passover festivities. So we will not have the Wednesday show next week. Lord's Will be on the following Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Let Lord's Will Life last. We do have the Saturday show. We doing English or Spanish this Saturday?
English.
All right. We got the English Power Hour on Facebook, all right, at the Lost One 44K. You see that up on your screen, all right? And nobody called in. We got a live call-in. Nobody called in.
Othello?
I think we got, I mean, it's streaming across the bottom. I don't know. A lot of people going back and forth with scoffers and the thing. Hey, don't fall into that trap, brothers and sisters, man. I know how that is when you, especially if you're younger in this truth, man, you, it's tempting to try to go toe-to-toe with somebody, you know? It's like you want to show them your kung fu, you know? But it, they just trying to distract you from other stuff that's coming out.
Focus, Israel.
Yeah. So we won't be on the air this Wednesday, right? Passover is April 1st. Yes. April 1st at dark. April 1st at dark, okay? But many of us are doing regional events at IUIC. So we won't be doing it because of travel and all that for the Wednesday show. But Lord's will, and we won't have that Saturday show either, again, because of Passover stuff.
Right.
So we got one more show before Passover. And then after Passover, we should be back on track with the regular schedule. Mm-hmm. All right. I pray y'all get some edification from all of this. All right. A lot of good information and discussion came out today. Go back if you haven't seen the interview with Joanna Fernandez on the Young Lords, Dr. Joanna Fernandez. It's on point. Hey, brother, don't worry about getting it right or wrong, man, especially if you're newer in this, man. If you have the zeal to do it and the humility to take that low, that's how it got to be, man. I was wrong a lot. I'm still wrong a lot, right? All these years later, okay? So it's all right as long as you're in the right spirit to receive that correction, brother.
That's right.
All right, that's for Brother Reginald Brown. Hey, and I highly suggest, I think I saw something you say you were in the countries or whatever. Get yourself to a school, man, even if it's once a month, depending on your circumstances, all right? Get with that community, trust me, it'll be very empowering, and you'll see what we're talking about in action, all right? So, hey, let's go back and let's watch that broadcast with Dr. Joanna Fernandez if you didn't already. Also, we could use your support on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, all right? Look us up, like, subscribe, okay? We're trying to get to 15K. We had 11, a little over 11, mm-hmm. I think, on the backside. It only shows the total on the main side. You know, let's get that support going for that. Any other things I'm missing, brothers and sisters? All right. If you're unsure about how to celebrate the Passover, go to IsraelUnite.org. We have High Holy Days, and there's some brief instructions there. You can also call in or email, and they'll get some information to you.
The Booster Club.
Oh, don't forget the Booster Club.
That's right.
All right. Donate to the Booster Club, IUIC, that fundraising at IsraelUnite.org. It helps fund not just international travel. Some people, well, you guys aren't traveling that much right now.
Right.
Well, you know, you got all this COVID BS, so we're not able to do that. So with that being said, we've been using a lot of those funds to support radio shows and TV spots, you know, different things like that to help out with the international schools. All right. So, let's set it up. Hey, so he said I'm going to try to go this Saturday. Hey, don't try to go. We do or we don't, right? So just do it.
There is no try.
There is no try. Hey, Yoda said it. He knew where it was from right away. There is no try.
That's
you
right.
Do or you do not, right? So, hey, get yourself over there, man. I'm telling you, go into fellowship with your brothers and sisters, that community of believers like we read in Acts. That's a life-changing experience. I promise you.
Definitely.
I promise you. All right? Anyway, Most High Christ bless you all. Y'all be safe out there. Y'all have a blessed and wonderful Passover, okay?
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back, what is that, the 6th? So we'll be back live on the Wednesday show on April 6th, all right? So with that, we say shalom.
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 Most High Christ bless Israel.
Leg up. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us.
I want
us to keep in them laws. When the Lord returns,
Babylon
will fall.
Solid.
We got them on lock.
Got
God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen geeks are ready for our whip to crack.
Dang.